Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with us. And we just like to equip the man of God for every good work. And we want to equip the woman of God, the young man, the young woman of God, for every good work. And, yeah, we are those who believe in Jesus and keep the commandments of God. I like the way that Revelation 14:12 just kind of summarizes that whole thing. Doesn't that apply to any period of time, whether it be the end times or not the end times? Either way, we are those who keep the faith of Jesus and the commandments of God. I mean, that's it. Isn't that pretty much the Christian walk and talk?
Yeah, it should be.
Well, here's the question that came up in a Pew Research survey that was just done. I'm sure this one has generated a little bit of debate. We talked about this around the dinner table yesterday. This is the Pew Research thing. Does God's commandment to love our neighbors require that we get an immunization shot for COVID? And it turns out 53% of Americans said yes. I'm guessing that's religious Americans or Christian Americans. Although only 46% of white evangelical Protestants agreed to it, most enthusiastic to this idea that, yeah, if you love your neighbor, you're going to have to get a COVID shot.
Were the Mormons.
The Mormons at 66%. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that one puzzles me.
Yeah,
and
I'm not sure.
And I think I know why.
Okay.
I think it's because...
Risk a guess on this?
They're based on works. Their salvation is based on works, so they have to do good deeds, and they've been educated either in their temples or in their steakhouses, that they have to do this in order to show love and concern for their neighbors.
So
it's a matter of
works. So it may be something that was taught by the Mormon leaders. And indeed, there seems to be something fairly homogenous about the Mormon rules that work its way from the top all the way down.
Yeah.
So you get kind of a homogeneity, whereas in Protestant evangelicalism, there's just a little more debate over these things.
Right. Not much, but a little bit.
All right. Well, let's talk about this, Bill. I mean, I'm just throwing this one out on the table, and let's wrestle with it a little bit. Does God's commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves include this getting the immunization shot for COVID? Now, of course, the first thing I think we need to ask ourselves is, what is love?
Yeah, that's the question. It's a loving thing to do, and the question is, what do you mean by love?
Yeah.
We've just discussed this afternoon, as a matter of fact, with the students at the Worldview Bridge Year program when it came to the issue of homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Homosexuals say, you just need to love me, that love is the chief command. No, it's not the chief command. Chief command is to love God.
Yeah, that's first.
Okay. Only then can you possibly truly love other people, because he defines what love is, and that's Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to any man except to love one another. And they usually stop there. And they say, I'm your brother, you're to love me. Well, it goes on, and it says, he who loves his brother, and it lists four of the Ten Commandments. And it says, if you love your neighbor, you won't steal your neighbor's car. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal your neighbor's wife. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal your neighbor's life.
And
that's
you will
love.
And you will not steal your neighbor's chastity.
Yes.
And which includes any form of sexual sin.
Yeah.
Incest, homosexuality, you name it.
Love has become a gushy, mushy feeling. And really, love is an act of the will based on a standard. That standard is God's word, God's law.
Here's what I think people are thinking when they think about love. You need to treat me the way I want to be treated. Now, what's wrong with that? The way I want to be treated. You treat me the way I want to be treated. What's wrong with that?
It's backwards. It's I treat you as I would desire to be treated. I treat you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the golden rule.
That's the golden rule.
And then the second part of that is maybe the way you want to be treated may not be the best thing for you.
Exactly.
You take a two-year-old, okay? A two-year-old would say, Mommy, here's the way I want to be treated. I want Captain Crunch, Fruit Loops, for breakfast, for lunch and dinner. If you love me, Mom, you will give me the sugar Crispy Pops for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's it, Mom. You will treat me the way I want to be treated. If you love me, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's wrong with that thinking?
First of all, the child doesn't know what is good for him. He doesn't know what love
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Doesn't know what's good for him.
Yeah.
That's the issue. See, the average person really doesn't know what's good for him.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, it's going to be God's law that will help us in that. And it will be, as you said, our love for God that will be the source of us understanding how to treat one another as well. So, friends, we'll be back in just a moment, and we want to talk more on this issue. Should you get the COVID-19 shots in order to protect your neighbor from getting COVID? That next on Generations.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack also. This conversation on love. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And does that mean that we are to love homosexuals and affirm them everything that they do? Does that mean we're to love serial killers and everything that they do and support it and affirm it? Well, I think there's a false conception of love. You've already talked about how love is feeling in the minds of some, but it's not a feeling. The Bible doesn't present it as a feeling. Also, the Bible says that friends will wound each other because faithful are the wounds of a friend. So real love will confront one another. Real love is willing to be confronted without being offended and taking up our marbles and just walking away mad. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love has a sacrificial element about it. So
Okay, Kevin, if you were running along in a fog toward a cliff, you didn't know the cliff was there, and I come out of the fog and I tackle you and we tumble across the ground and you break your arm and skin your nose off your face, you're going to be upset with me?
Yeah, probably
initially,
a little bit, yeah.
Until you find out what?
Yeah, until you found out that you saved me from the 400-foot cliff.
Yeah, exactly. Love is not necessarily being nice. Love is being truthful, and love is being kind.
Unless I was sky gliding and I had a glider and all that, and then you ruined my fun.
Yeah.
With that exception.
With that exception.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good point, Bill. Appreciate that. I want to take up the golden rule. You mentioned this. And I think this ties into the question of whether or not getting the COVID immunization shot is a representation or fulfillment of the law to love our neighbors ourselves. So here's the question. What does do unto others as you would have them do unto you? What does that mean? Or how does that would apply in this situation? Well, here's what's interesting about this. Now, the first thing we should say is this is not isolated from all of the other commandments. So we have all the other commandments that rule as well. And loving our neighbor involves some of the things we talked about and keeping the commandments of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, and so forth.
And I would say that it deals specifically with justice. You want to be treated the way you would treat others when it comes to the issue of justice. And so I think we sometimes make this also purely feeling rather than objective truth applied to all.
But there is some subjectivity to it. And let me give you this example.
There is.
This command, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, admits that there is subjectiveness to our knowledge as to what would produce good for ourselves as well as for others. There's a limitation to our knowledge as to what would produce the most good. Now, granted, as I said, the laws of God, the Word of God, equips the man of God for all these other things. So don't just say, hey, there's only one commandment in the Bible, the golden rule. Some people want to say that. They want to limit it to the golden rule. But you shouldn't do that. I mean, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God to equip the man of God.
Yeah, Jesus didn't boil it down to the golden rule.
No, he sure didn't.
He boiled it down to two things.
Love God.
Then you can love others.
You got it. But this do unto others as you would have them do unto you admits to a bit of subjectiveness or limitation to our knowledge as to what produces the most good for ourselves. For example, I may believe that shoving mRNA into my veins, ergo vaccine, it's not really a vaccine, but
it's an experimental vaccine.
Shoving the mRNA into my veins is akin to shooting Clorox bleach into my veins, and I just wouldn't want to wish that on my neighbor. But now you may come back and say, well, you have limited knowledge as to what you're actually doing with this mRNA thing. Well, that's true. But still, we all have some level of knowledge and some subjectivity and limitation of knowledge in these various areas. Now, if I knew ahead of time that there was a great deal of uncertainty and controversy about something that I perceived to be good, but others believed to be evil, I would be more careful about insisting this as the greatest good for everybody. And this is the mistake that people are making. I think, personally, that 66% of Mormons have given us the wrong answer on this.
Yeah.
I actually believe that 46% of evangelicals are wrong. And here's why they're wrong. They're not allowing a fair amount of Christian liberty in this area, and they should be.
And they're assuming that it's a settled matter when it isn't, that the vaccine is not, as it is, experimental. And that's what it is. It's experimental. And so it's the equivalent argument would be something along the lines, well, I'm all things to all men, Paul says. Okay? Well, no. Wait. Think through this. He wasn't saying in order to reach the alcoholics, I become an alcoholic. In order to reach the drug dealer, I become an addict. He's talking about philosophical things. Now, so this idea that I've got to get the vaccine, that's mandatory. The Christian life demands that I take the vaccine in order to love my neighbor is not correct thinking.
Again, on some matters, there are levels of uncertainty and controversy. And so when you realize that, I think you need to allow for a fair amount of liberty. Let me give you an example, Bill, that I think is helpful. Carrying a gun. Okay, now, in some societies, they would think that any kind of concealed weapon is a horrible thing. But I happen to live in America in which there is a Second Amendment. We have the liberty to carry a gun. Now, turns out in some states, not as much as others. But maybe I believe that everybody should own a gun and carry a gun so that they would protect me from some crazy guy who goes nuts in a King Soopers grocery store. But Here's the question. Does Jesus' command to love our neighbor mean that you should always carry a concealed weapon to protect your own life and my life from some nutcase in every situation? And the reason why I wouldn't impose that on everybody. Now, I personally think there should be liberty to carry the weapon or not to carry the weapon. Either way, I think there should be liberty either way.
And there have been cities who passed ordinances to that effect, that it's mandatory for citizens in that community to carry.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are very small communities. They're usually very conservative communities.
There's about 48 people.
Yeah, exactly.
But point is this, there is controversy and a bit of uncertainty about the issue, and so therefore I believe that people should have liberty to make a choice as to whether they carry concealed weapon or not in any given situation. So I don't want to force that choice on everybody. Same principle should apply to the vaccination.
Right.
And of course, I mean, there's so many other examples. I might say, hey, we should all eat sushi once a week or eat a salad once a day. It's good for me. It's good for you. It's good for our society. But I don't want to enforce that on my neighbor.
Because there's such a thing as liberty and self-government under God's law.
Now, some believe that other strategies of handling the disease, that is the COVID-19 disease and all the other strains, some strategies of handling this disease are better than others.
Right.
And I think we should allow for differing opinions on these sorts of things.
And healthy debate.
And some debate, yeah, as
but
well.
But there has mm-hmm. been neither. Yeah. There's neither been the ability to debate it because you're shut down, or the ability to disagree in conversation without having emotions rule.
Yeah. I mean, some people just do not want to be part of the initial group of, I guess, 2 billion guinea pigs. I don't know how many guinea pigs are going to be, but there's going to be a lot of guinea pigs.
Yeah.
But what if, you know, people just want to say, I don't want to be one of the first 100 million guinea pigs that try out the highly questionable mRNA shot that has never been used in the history of mankind. I mean, let's just, isn't that true? I don't think I'm exaggerating here.
No.
Do you know of any other period of time? Did the Egyptians use this, or did they use it in the 16th century or the 17th century? Were they using the mRNA shot? No, this is the first time. This is it, friends. This is it. And there are some who actually say, I think it's better if we establish herd immunity, and that might actually reduce the possibility of this thing exploding into 48 variants. If we can somehow achieve some herd immunity, maybe that's even better than a shot that's only going to be effective for one or two variants or four or five variants, but not for 28 variants. So there are people who are just, you know, discussing these sorts of things. And there may be some validities to some of these arguments. We have no idea what the long-term consequences of this vaccine, the so-called vaccine, will be upon humanity. We just don't know. All we know is that we live in one of the most godless ages in the history of mankind. It's a very proud humanist age where man really believes he is God. Isn't that pretty much the age we live in? It's extremely proud. Science has never been more proud, more godless. The percentage of atheists among scientists is about 10 times what you find in the normal population. I mean, the godlessness of scientists is through the roof. They're godless atheists, not all, but more or less, we live in a godless age of godless, powerful governments, proud, godless scientists. They've all teamed up to rush through a medical cure that we're all supposed to believe in or will be canceled by Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And that's all we know at this point. That's it, my friends. You know, my son-in-law had a discussion on this last night. We were sitting around the dinner table, and the question was, would I take the vaccine if it was forced on me?
Well, if it was forced on you, Kevin, you wouldn't have a choice.
I know, I wouldn't have a choice. They'd tie me down, I'd just take it. But if I couldn't travel and do ministry unless I took the vaccine, you know, creating some of the scenarios that are before us. And you know, he's dealing with the question of whether he needs to take the vaccine in order to continue his employment, you know, that kind of thing. People
right.
are having to deal with these things. And I said, well, I probably would take it to continue ministry for a lot of reasons. One is, you know, if I'm in a communist country and they're going to beat me 17 times before I get into the country, okay, I'll take the beating and then go on and do some ministry. So, but here's a couple of things that come to my mind as I consider these things. My wife and I are not having any more babies, so the risks of passing along a weird genetic anomaly to our kids because I took in some mRNA vaccine that we don't really know very much about it. We don't really know what it's going to do to the genetic code of the body. We don't know. We don't know these things. But I don't think I'm going to risk passing on some genetic anomaly to my children. So, you know, here I am. Also, I'm almost dead anyway. I'm 56 years old, and most of my miles have been off-road, Bill. So,
well, let's go back to that first point, then.
Yeah.
What would you advise for your grandchildren? See, that's the thing.
It's tough.
Because it's not you that's just affected by you being compliant with an order.
Yeah.
There's a stand that needs to be taken at some point.
Yeah.
It cannot be taken by your grandchildren. It must be taken by you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you willing to sacrifice for their liberty?
Yeah.
Their future?
Yeah.
And that's a question that I think will resonate more with our listeners than just a personal preference question. It is, what does my decision, who does my decision impact other than just me?
Well, I don't believe that it would be equated to suicide. I don't believe it's breaking God's law to the point at which I am committing suicide.
No, I don't either. But
so
I
don't
think
believe
it has
that.
Ramifications.
Don't yeah. think it has that level of, I don't think it could be referred to as a sin in that regard.
No.
And for the hundreds of millions of people that have already taken the vaccine, including some of my relatives, my friends, I would say it's not a sin for them to take it. I think there are risks involved.
I don't think.
And
most
I think
people,
they have to ask answer the question, do you want to be the guinea pig?
Yeah. I don't think most people who have taken it are fully informed.
Well, that's another problem. Yeah. Well, friends, other things to consider. Let's just go through some of these other things to consider. There may be no quick fix for the flu, for the common cold, for COVID. And I think we just need to come to the conclusion that there's been way too much trust in governments, way too much trust in the systems.
You are a skeptic, aren't you?
It took hundreds of years to prove out some of the medical approaches, as in the first vaccine.
Yeah.
Bill, the first vaccines, there were rudimentary, but Cotton Mather attempted the first in 1720, but it wasn't until the 1790s where they came upon the cowpox vaccine for smallpox, and that was, what, 70 years later. And it just, you know, took another 50, 60, 70 years before it became more common. And that was just the way it worked, because people would take some time to work these things out. Here's a few other things to consider. The U.S. age-adjusted death rate for the United States improved from 24% down to 7.2% between 1900 and 2019. Now, in 2020, it popped back up from 7.2 to 8%, probably largely because of COVID. But that's where it was in 2007. So we're simply back to where we were in 2007 on the U.S. age-adjusted death rate. We're pretty much where we were in 2007. That's not the Black Death. That's the point. It's not the Black Death. Also, for England and Wales, the metric improved from 75 to 2019, and it ticked up to exactly where it was in 2009 last year. Again, that's not the Black Plague. And here's one more fact. Our problem is not COVID in the United States. About 13% of deaths in America are due to tobacco use.
Mm-hmm.
20% of American deaths are due to overweight issues. Obesity is the most dangerous killer in America now. In fact, obesity has increased tenfold since 1975. And type 2 diabetes has also increased tenfold over the same period of time. And here's one more factoid. Oh, let me just say this. How about stop offering so many sweet desserts at the church potluck? I mean, that might do more than the COVID-19 shot. And forcing it on all Americans, insisting that it would be a sin against God not to get the shot. I can't buy that. You follow me? I mean, if obesity is up tenfold since 1975 in America, and 20% of American deaths are due to overweight issues. And by the way, COVID is not 20%. COVID is running about 1 to 2%.
And it's just
providing that little blip. It's giving us a little bit of a blip this year. And maybe more than that. Maybe it's more like 4 to 5%, but it's not 20%. So if obesity is the 20% and Americans want to love their neighbor as themselves, then maybe we should be talking about this in the churches.
Yeah,
maybe the church potlucks are more of an issue than we thought.
Maybe we'd smack those cookies out of those little kids' hands in Sunday school.
Maybe so.
Maybe we should smack the apple pie off the table at the
church potluck.
Potluck.
Yeah. So I'm just throwing these things out. I think,
oh, we'll have a pie throwing contest instead of pie eating contest.
There you go.
And
here's one more factoid. 177% more people died from drug overdoses from COVID than COVID-19 San Francisco last year. 177% more died of drug overdoses than COVID-19 in San Francisco last year. Now, overall, despair deaths were up 25% year over year in 2020. 25% for Asians, 45% for blacks, 42% for Latinos, and 13% for whites in 2020. That's a 25% uptick. So from 45 per 100,000 to 56 per 100,000 in just 1 year. That's pretty significant. Now, we've had an increase from 15 to 45 from 1970 upwards, but in just 1 year, we saw another 25% uptick on despair deaths, taking us to 200,000 deaths in the United States last year. Add to that 442,000 tobacco-related deaths and 680,000 due to obesity problems, and compare that to 360,000 COVID deaths, and you can see that the self-inflicted problems are probably four times higher than COVID deaths last year in the United States. America has deeper spiritual problems that need to be addressed, and I think that's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. It's we've removed the fear of God, and as a result, we fear everything else, and we try to avoid the ultimate fear, and that is death. And so we try to control death. And we can't do that.
Friends, 200,000 people died of despair deaths last year. And that's up from just like 50,000 10, 15 years ago. We're looking at 200,000 despair deaths. And Bill, COVID-19 is on the front page of CNN nonstop for 365 days. You're not seeing despair deaths on the front page on every single day. And you're not seeing the tobacco-related deaths. You're not seeing the obesity-related deaths, which, by the way, is twice as bad as what you get with COVID-19 deaths. The self-inflicted problems, my friends, four times higher than COVID-19 deaths last year. America has deeper spiritual issues that need to be addressed. And you want to love your neighbor as yourself? Forget about the COVID-19 vaccination just for a moment. What about the gospel? Maybe the nation needs the gospel more than the COVID-19 shot. Maybe those in despair, maybe those who are running into the idolatry of food and the idolatry of alcohol and the idolatry of tobacco and the idolatry of the addictions, maybe these people need Jesus, who has come to save us from all of our sins, including the sin of despair, including the sin of running away from God, including the sin of isolation, including the sin of addiction and idolatry. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins and to deliver us from the fear of death and from the condemnation of death forever and ever, to give us that eternal life. Friends, that's the message that we need to be sharing.
We need to kind of go viral on that one too.
Yeah, we do. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.